changing lives.
Between the ages of 8 and 14, girls' confidence can fall by 30%. And even more specifically, you know, from 12 to 13, the number of girls who feel that they're not allowed to fail and fail openly rises from about 18 to 45%.
She's written for HuffPost, Ms. Magazine, Thrive Global, breaking down financial confidence, political awareness, and young entrepreneurship for today's girls. Please welcome former lawyer, guest lecturer at Columbia University, and founder of ETRA, Ilana Rea, to Self-Talk Radio Show, brought to you by Pure Energy Apothecary, people and planet-friendly skincare. Find them at Bed Bath & Beyond or online at pureenergybody.com. Welcome to Self-Talk Radio Show. I'm Sarah Spencer, and if you have a girl in middle school and you want to help her raise her self-esteem and really be a go-getter, this is the book for you to add to your library. Welcome to Ilana Rea on Self-Talk Radio Show. Hi.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Love your book.
Thank you so much. It was so much fun to put together.
So your book is ETRA, Girls, Who Do You Want to Be? And you talk about raise your hand instead of lowering your standards. I just absolutely love that. What propelled you to write this book?
So it's interesting. You know, I was a lawyer for a long time, and I loved being a lawyer. But I realized that when my daughter was in middle school, she really did not know anything about what I was doing. And I realized the more I spoke with her and with her friends, that they didn't have a sense of what any of their working moms did every day. You know, I think as moms, we were trying so hard to get home and have everything be all about the kids, and we weren't openly talking about work. So at the time, I just tried to show my daughter more female role models. Any accomplished woman with a cool job that I thought might interest her, I tried to put her in front of her. And fast forward to when I retired from my law firm, I wanted to do more of that with more girls. And so in 2016, I started a mentorship platform called ETRA, exactly to show girls, you know, who they could be and ask them that question, who do they want to be? And I started writing articles for a number of different outlets about female role models, breaking down big topics for young girls. And that all kind of rolled together into a book, which came out in October.
Yeah. And, you know, I was really taken with your mantra of asking girls to raise a hand instead of lowering your standards. Why do you think girls don't want to raise their hands?
You know, I think it's a confidence issue. And I don't think it's exclusive to girls. I think boys can have this issue. I know grown women who don't love raising their hands in situations. But the more I started to get into what it was in middle school that was changing it, the data really proved out that, you know, a number of studies said, and one of my favorites from the Confidence Code for Girls, that between the ages of 8 and 14, girls' confidence can fall by 30%. And even more specifically, you know, from 12 to 13, the number of girls who feel that they're not allowed to fail and fail openly rises from about 18 to 45%. So you're talking about, you know, 150%. I think raising your hand is the epitome of that brave moment of being willing to fail, being willing to be wrong and be alone in that. And I think if we can get girls to just do the smallest thing of raising their hand in class early, then maybe they raise their hand in other sectors. Maybe they raise their hands to ask questions in general, or if they need help with something. I think raising your hand is that first step to bolstering your confidence and being willing to not be perfect out there, but to find out what you need to know.
And how has social media impacted that need for being perfection and Instagram pictures of showing everything peachy keen? How is that affecting our kids?
It's a great question and a great point. I think the curated aspect of social media, every filter, every perfect vacation and perfect sleepover adds another layer to that. I won't do it at all unless I can be perfect. You know, I'm not going to even try unless I'm guaranteed to make that high level team or make that harder math class. And I think it's something that parents need to be talking about with their kids, and kids need to be supporting each other. What I love about some of the newer social media feeds is that they are willing to be imperfect. They are highlighting, you know, when they trip on their way to the goal or if they hiccuped during their audition for the play. And I think using social media to highlight imperfection is terrific too.
Do you think as parents we're pushing our kids too hard to hit that bar? I know I'm a very driven mom.
Yep, I'm with you.
And I would probably put this book in front of my kid and say, oh, you've got to read this. And what about that kid who just is not that rock star, who likes to be in the background, who doesn't want to raise a hand? What do you say to that person, that child?
There's a lot in the book for that child. You know, I love that child. I think, first of all, I think you can lead from anywhere. Mm-hmm. I don't think you need to be the one in the front of the room with your hand up all the time to contribute in a valuable way in a classroom. I think supporting each other, echoing what someone else said, deep thinking about what someone else said when they raised their hand forms a leader too. I do think that we put a lot on our kids' plates. And, you know, my kids are older now, but I remember distinctly when they were in middle school. And as a parent, you want them to try everything. You want them to, don't be afraid to try out for choir and let's put your art together and you should audition for this. And it can be overwhelming to them. Our efforts to find the thing that resonates with them and sparks them can lead to too much. I think the better solution might be for us to listen to our kids and really watch. You know, by middle school, they know what class they're so excited for. They know what activity they're waiting all day to go and hop into. And if we listen to them and if we see, you know what, it's not soccer, it's chess. Okay, let's lean into chess then. If that's the thing that you really love and resonates with you, let's do chess. I think listening to our kids helps us to keep that drive and not overschedule them.
We're speaking with Alana Reyes. She is the author of ETRA, Girls, Who Do You Want to Be? And when we come back, we're going to ask Alana about girls and money and the resources available and also some jobs for middle school girls that they can go after when we come back on Self-Talk Radio Show. Think websites are old-fashioned, out of touch with your core audience? Think again. While your tribe may love you on Instagram, you may be missing out on a whole client base that searches for you on Bing or Google. Then what? WebHelp US built Self-Talk Radio Show's website, and I love it. Podcast uploads, open graph tags, SEO stuff, they do it all for me. WebHelp US, they even think of things like backing up my website, checking for viruses and stuff I frankly don't have time for. WebHelp US, professional websites for big picture people. WebHelpUS.com. Welcome back to Self Talk Radio Show. I'm Sarah Spencer. My guest is the author of ETRA, Girls, Who Do You Want to Be? Alana Reyes. And you talk a lot about women and money and girls and money specifically. What can be done to overcome that perception that financial confidence in middle or even high school age girls is considered impolite?
You know, I think money is an area where we tend to underestimate our girls. And again, I think we underestimate all middle schoolers when it comes to this, but I'm speaking specifically to girls because I think if we want to close the pay gap, I think if we want to see more women on boards, it starts with our girls. I think that there is a real inclination sometimes for parents to say, oh, you know, you don't have to worry about that, or we're not going to talk about money at the table. You know, that sort of gloss of rudeness when we talk about money. And I think we need to peel it back. For girls, I think answering their questions directly and in a matter-of-fact way. We talked before about social media, but this is an area where social can actually teach our girls, help them to follow hashtags like equal pay or gender pay gap and see what's going on. When we arm our girls with information, it can be in bite-sized pieces. It can be from resources that speak to their age group. You know, Girl Scouts has Money Matters, which is a terrific microsite. There are groups out there like Rock the Street, Wall Street, which is all about girls and financial literacy. Arming them with information makes them unafraid to ask their questions. And the girl that can ask a good money question in middle school or high school is the woman who's going to ask for that raise and who's not going to be afraid to walk into a boardroom and negotiate.
You know, Alana, a few years ago, it was back in, I think it was 98 or 99, I did a job fair and they were asking what the starting pay was for a radio announcer. And I said, well, it's not very much. It's about $13,000 a year. And the child said, "Wow, that's a lot of money." And I said, "Wow, we're in a lot of trouble because they don't know what a good salary is." And
right.
I created Reality 2000. It was a life-size game to teach kids how much it costs to work and live in the state of Vermont. And they'd come into the arena with a job idea. We'd tell them what they could make in the state, and then they would spend that salary in the arena. We had so much fun. Some kids bought an RV to live in and discovered the heating bill was going to be too much. And, you know, they figured out what apartments were. And then there were reality checks where a student could pull a card. And if they were getting a divorce, they would go over to the attorney and roll the dice to find out what their attorney fees were. I mean, we are so going to
talk about this. It was fun. I want to hear more about this. It's fun. It's informative and it's engaging for them. You know, give them the power to make those decisions in that world.
Yeah. And it was just so important for, you know, young girls and young boys to have that education. And I think that's a big gap that's missing for a lot of our young people. And I'm so happy that your book really covers that. You have some wonderful resources in there. You also talked about jobs middle school girls could go after. Do you have some of those thoughts in mind?
I do. You know, I think that being able to ask for a job, figure out what's required, seek feedback, and then find the next job, I think that's something that can be started early. And in the beginning, it can start within the home. You know, they can be chores that you as parents might otherwise pay someone to do. But if your child wants to give it a shot, and if paying your child to do it is not, you know, in your household value system, it can be other things. It can be a later bedtime. It can be more screen time. I think you can start with household jobs and then venture out into the neighborhood. Obviously, doing it in a smart, safe way with people you know, but anything from leaf raking and babysitting and dog walking, those things lead into larger jobs, like being a counselor at a camp or volunteering at a youth organization and turning that into a paid job and figuring out, okay, do I need CPR training for that? Do I need Red Cross licensing? What's required? How do I get better at it? Those are skills that can be instilled early. And I think these girls have specific skills, whether it's sports or reading to kids. I don't know what I would do without help for social media with girls, and they might be interns for me, but later they'll be jobs.
Right. Yeah. And you also brought up something. I thought this was really smart. The 50-25-25 rule on money.
Yes.
Yeah. Could you share that?
So there's an investment platform that was created by Sally Krawcheck, and it's called Elevest. And it's a terrific platform because it's by women for women. And they've been really great about sharing resources with our girls. And so they talk about a 50-30-20 split. You know, deciding how much of your money should be spent, how much of it should be saved, how much of it should be invested. And I sort of flip that a little bit for girls. I think if you say to girls, you're earning money, and forget about how many zeros are at the end of it, you are earning money for a job well done. Let's take 50% and you should be spending that. There are things you need, things perhaps your parents don't need to be buying for you, movie tickets, concert tickets, you know, a cracked phone case, whatever, you can be spending 50% or contributing to those needs. Save 25%. There are big things you might be saving for. Maybe it's college, maybe it's a car, maybe it's a laptop, something big. Save 25%. And then I don't think it's wrong to instill the idea of philanthropy early. Give 25%. Find a cause that speaks to you. And in addition to doing things like raising awareness on social media and participating in community drives, you can give some of your money. I think we underestimate, again, the philanthropic impact that a young person can have. And this is a great way to bake it in early.
And I also like that you even go into cryptocurrency. Why should girls, especially middle school age, care about cryptocurrency?
You know, it's not that they have to care about the industry itself. It was a great way to make a point that you should never steer away from something simply because it seems very complex at the outset or beyond you or male dominated. You know, let's look at the fact that, you know, somewhere between 4-6% of crypto investors are women. That's a low number. But you shouldn't be moving away from it because it seems really complicated. It is complicated, but let's get you into it. Let's talk to female investors in this area. Let them give you some advice. digital currency is not beyond girls that age. They understand currency and video games every single day. So breaking down a really big thorny field like that and saying, no, this isn't beyond you. Take it in small bites. Let's really look at it. Let's interview some leading women. I think it's an example of helping girls put a toe in a field that, you know, other women, frankly, are steering away from.
Yeah. And you talk a lot about math phobias, not phobia, that's not the right word, but, you know, the joke I always say is, I'm mathematically challenged. I am. And it's, but then I look at it after reading your book and I'm like, that's a limiting belief on my part. And so I think, is that pretty common shared among young girls, or is this changing?
I hope it's changing. I really do. I hope it's less common than it used to be. I think the real way to solve it, or at least to take a step in that direction, is to put girls in front of female role models who might have shared those beliefs when they were their age. You know, part of what we do at ETRA are these lunch and learns, where I take girls 10 at a time in middle school and high school. I take them directly into companies to meet women, to meet female executives in a variety of fields, because it is life-changing to watch a girl stand in a room with an executive and say, hey, were you scared to raise your hand in math class when you were my age? And have that woman look her in the eye and say, you know what, I was. I hated raising my hand in math in seventh grade. And then I got over it. And now I'm an engineer at Google. And let's take a walk around my office and see what I do every day. Those interactions mean more sometimes than a parent saying it, or watching someone on TV. And I think the more we can introduce our girls to women in STEM and STEAM and let them speak one-on-one to say, tell me about your job. This is such a, you know, if you want to call it a phobia, this is a phobia worth getting over, because the jobs out there are cooler than cool. And that's what I want to do.
So earlier you mentioned STEAM Squad. Can you talk more about that?
Absolutely. This is a great example of how social media is almost used for good. There are a number of teens. I think they're all girls right now, although I don't know that they're going to be exclusive to girls. And they met each other online on Twitter, and they're all leaders at a young age in STEAM, whether it's science, invention, math leaders, tech innovators. And they formed something called the STEAM Squad. And they exist solely to support each other and encourage kids everywhere to love STEAM. And I just think this is such a wonderful organization. We interview them in the book, and then separately, several of them have gotten more involved on our board. And it's just a great way of kids from all over the world reaching out through a common love of STEAM.
That is really, what a neat way of connecting. You know, people talk about the internet being so negative for people. This is a perfect example of it bringing young people together.
It is. And the things that they are creating, by the way, I mean, they are innovators that have been picked up by places like Mattel and Marvel. And, you know, they're doing tremendous things at ages 12, 13, 14. It's the steamsquad.org. If any of your listeners want to look into it further, they're a wonderful bunch of girls.
We're speaking with Alana Rea. She is the author of ETRA Girls, Who Do You Want to Be? And when we come back, we're going to talk more about some of the interviews in the book, The Space Gal, and also an interview with Dr. Jen Welter, the first female NFL coach, when we come back on Self Talk Radio Show. Need to stop bad habits, start positive change, and sleep like a baby? Check out meditations free at sleepmeditation.org. Welcome back to Self Talk Radio Show. My guest, Alana Rea. She's the author of ETRA Girls, Who Do You Want to Be? And you had some interesting interviews in your book. Can you talk about the Space Gal?
Absolutely. Emily Calandrelli, and her social media tag is The Space Gal. And she's a girl who had a really early interest in space. She went to the University of West Virginia, where she was an aerospace engineer, and then got her master's at MIT in, I think, aeronautics. And she wanted kids everywhere to be interested in science and in space science. So she does a great job of breaking it down into small, really digestible and, you know, enthusiastic ways to get involved in space. So she's been a correspondent on Bill Nye Saves the World. She hosts Exploration Outer Space, so she's a TV host. She's got TED Talks on YouTube. And we interviewed her at the time saying, you know, what if you are the only girl who's interested in something? You know, what do you do? How do you keep true to your interests? And she gave us great advice at the time when we did the first interview saying, you know, find other kids with common interests and you can look outside school and outside your usual friend group. And she's written books for younger kids, so kids younger than middle school, but introducing the idea of space. And she's just a really dynamic TV host who's relatable to kids and a fantastic role model for girls of all ages.
You also devote a lot of time to sports. 94% of women in the C-suite played sports, which was interesting to me. And what were your biggest takeaways from interviewing Dr. Jen Welter? She was the first female NFL coach.
She was, and she now has a group called the Gridiron Girls, and she wants girls in general to get more involved in the game of football and in competitive sports on a larger scale. You know, I just thought that she was so interesting because you talk about football, that is certainly a male-concentrated sport, but her idea that it should be open to everyone, that a girl can love football, that she can love watching football, she can love playing football. She was, you know, a coach when women were not coaching, and it was almost a non-issue for her. Her love of the game trumped everything else. And so she's got these Gridiron Girl camps now all over the country. And her idea is that she wants to show girls that there's no game you can't play and there's no field you shouldn't be standing on. And I think that's a larger message. You know, I couldn't love that more.
Definitely. That's a great takeaway.
Especially at the age we're talking about. You know, girls by the age of 14 tend to drop their sport at twice the rate of boys. And that's a stat from the National Sports Foundation, the Women's Sports Foundation. And I, you know, if we can put a stop to that, that's fantastic too.
And you also talk about girls being informed. Sometimes on Twitter, it can get really nasty when you're looking at some of the politics and some of the news that's going on lately. How do you balance that from girls getting accurate news, accurate information, and yet not shielding them from some of the hatred that's going on?
It's a great point. I do think that kids this age know bullying when they see it, and they know hate speech when they see it, and telling them just calmly opt out of that chat. You can unfollow someone. That's the beauty of social media. As easily as you can follow someone, you can unfollow them. And if you are getting more vitriol than verifiable information from a source, it's not your source. Yep. There are plenty of age-appropriate news sources, and we highlight them on our website on etragirls.com on the Be Informed page. And they might be teen-focused, and there are actually news outlets, too, where they want to hear from the girls, and they can become junior correspondents. They can write pieces for them. They can be involved in the news creation process as well. But I think if the news gets too angry and too uncomfortable, opt out. There are too many sources for you to be in a place that makes you anxious.
Oh, totally. Yeah. What you focus on grows. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lastly, and most importantly, you talk about girls being happy. And what did you learn interviewing girls about happiness?
I think girls know what makes them happy. And if you can convince them that you don't have to be great at it right off the bat for it to make you happy, then it guides the things you want to do. You know, we talked earlier about that class that you like the most or that after school activity that you cannot wait to get to. Lean way into that. Find extra resources that feed that, because what makes you happy doesn't necessarily going to be what makes your friends happy or what makes your family happy. But if it is, you know, healthy and safe and, you know, let's make the right choices. But if something makes you happy, and it's a skill that you can get better at, that you can find role models at your school, at your club, in your community that can help you, you know, hone those skills, find that thing. You know, there's too much pressure to join a particular activity because everyone else in your grade is doing it. You know at this point what makes you happy. Do more of that.
And find a mentor.
You know, mentors at this age, you know, mentors and champions and sponsors mean something different in the work world. But at this age, a mentor is simply someone who's an expert in that thing that you love and they can help you get better at it. Or sometimes it's someone who sees a spark in you and you don't even know yet that you've got a talent for it, and they're going to help fan that flame. So reach out to mentors. Middle school's not too young, and mentors matter.
Mm, mentors do matter. I wish that there was a book like this for boys too, because there's this is just so a great resource you've written. Is there anything out there for boys?
You know, I'm sure there is, and I haven't looked too far into it yet. I've been asked a number of times when Etra Guys is coming, and I don't hate the idea. I really don't. I think there's value to it, and it's been such a joyous process to interview these girls. You know, there are 50 girls in the book and 40 women. Doing something similar for boys, I think, would be a thrill. And, it's all about finding the right resources and then speaking to the boys to find out what they really want to hear about. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't do anything with ETRA without consulting my board. And I've got 88 girls, age middle and high school, on my board, and the board's exclusively girls. And they vote on who we interview and what company we visit. And they were a part of putting the book together. I think anyone who does something like this for boys would be wise to do something similar. Get yourself in that group and then listen hard to that audience.
Great advice. Thank you so much. It's an excellent resource, especially if you have middle school aged girls. The book is ETRA, Girls, Who Do You Want to Be? Alana, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much. I had a blast.
Is there a website that we could visit to get more information about this?
Absolutely. It's etregirls.com, etregirls.com. And you'll notice that the 10 pages on the website correlate exactly to the 10 chapters in the book. And that's one resource. The other resource is in the back of the book. All of the women who agreed to be interviewed or submit quotes gave their social media handles. So, you know, January is National Mentoring Month. Let's find some new mentors. These women want you to follow them, follow what they're doing, their new discoveries. I don't know. Like we said, mentors matter, and this is the month to do it. So in the back of the book, there's a lot of resource too.
Thank you so much. Alana Rea has been my guest. And of course, we'll have all those links on our website, Self Talk Radio Show. I'm Sarah Spencer. Thanks for listening. If you're a fan of Self Talk Radio Show, head out to our Facebook page, take a picture of yourself listening to the show, and you could win yourself a $25 gift card courtesy of Pure Energy Apothecary or one of our guests or sponsors. Thank you so much for listening to Self Talk Radio Show, Mind Changing Radio, where you can find it on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and of course at selftalkradioshow.com.